Well, good morning, Northside. Man, it is good to be here. It is so sweet to be here. We've been looking forward to this morning, like Rachel said, for a really long time. I just want to say, band, thank you so much. That was an incredible time of worship this morning. We're so thankful that Trenton and Kelly are part of this team. Trenton will be our worship leader and associate pastor. So just so excited about that. It is so good to be here. I'm just going to keep saying that. Man, I love this church. First of all, I want to say thank you, David, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for allowing us to have this time, this moment. We love this church, we love this pastor, and we just want to say thank you for allowing us to be here. Before I continue, though, I want to say this. I owe this church everything. I owe this church everything. There are hundreds and hundreds of people in this room, literally. There are hundreds and hundreds of people that have loved me, have encouraged me, have discipled me, have taught me for many, 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 many years. Your influence in my life has led me to a relationship with Christ in this church. Your influence in my life has called me into ministry. Your influence on my life has led me to this moment right now, right here, of this calling. It is because of you that my family and I are being were compelled and called in to church planting. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We love this church. Tomorrow, Rachel, Preston, and I will be taking the longest journey, the biggest journey we've ever taken. But this will always be home. So thank you. I've had people come up to me all week saying things like, Jason, I thought you were gone 2 years ago. I thought you moved 2 years ago. Nope, still here. Thanks. We'll keep you updated. So I thought it was important this morning before we started just to kind of update you really quickly on where we've been, what we're doing, what's next, all of that. Is that good? Cool. 4 years ago, Rachel and I, we went to this conference. It was called the North American Mission Board Send Conference. It was for church planters to talk about church planting and missions and things like that. And we heard stats like this. Think about this. There are 200 million unchurched people in America, making America the fourth largest unchurched nation in the world. Think about that. Of the 350,000 evangelical churches in America, four out of every five are either plateaued or they're declining. They're dying. Four out of every five. Like Rachel said, we felt like God was calling us to plant a church, and we knew that God was calling us to do that in Los Angeles. We fell in love with these people. We fell in love with this place. But I think what burdened us most of all was we started to see a stark disparity in the number of churches there compared to here. For example, if you throw a 10-mile radius around the city of Anaheim, which, by the way, is where specific city that we're going to plant, if you throw a 10-mile radius around that city, it's about 2 million people. 10-mile radius, 2 million people, zero Southern Baptist church plants. Zero. 2 million people. Think about that in comparison to Murfreesboro or even Nashville or Middle Tennessee. 2 million people. This broke our hearts. This broke our hearts. We love Los Angeles. Let me say this. Many people don't share that same feeling. Many people would love if Los Angeles kind of floated off into the middle of the ocean, you know, kind of never returned, right? Am I right? Anybody? No amens. Okay. We were telling Rachel's sweet, sweet grandmother about this, and she said, well, guys, of all the places in the entire world, you've picked, y'all know where this is going, you've picked the absolute worst. Thanks, Grandma. Appreciate it. Thanks for the encouragement. We appreciate that. Now, certainly nobody in this room feels that way, right? We know that God, we know that we love Los Angeles. And I love what Rachel said. God loves Los Angeles even more. He loves these people anymore. And what's cool is that God is already moving. God is already active. God is already working to bring people to his name. And we just want to be a part of it. God's already moving. and we just want to join him in this mission, and we're just excited about this. This past year has been life-changing for us, literally life-changing for us. March of last year, of course, I grew up in this church, but I served this church for about 8 years as the college minister, and in March of last year, we left Northside and went on staff with Long Hollow Baptist Church to do a church plant residency, where I won't go in a ton of detail, but where we were equipped and learned. We built our leadership, and we started to develop different processes and things to help us, allow us to plant. And we left that church with 22 adults and their families, close to 30 in all, some in this room right now, who have decided to sacrifice it all, leave their homes, leave their jobs, leave everything, and go across the country to help us plant Echo Church. Isn't that incredible? Close to 30 people. Praise God. It's been incredible. It's been an incredible journey. This has been a long journey, and we are so excited, but this is going to be the hardest thing we've ever done. It's going to be one of the most difficult things we've ever done, and I want to ask you this morning, would you partner with us? Like so many of you already are doing that, would you continue to walk with us? Would you partner with us? We so desperately need your prayers, more than you know, more than you think. We so desperately need your prayers. We so desperately need your encouragement. I talked with David, and he said, Jason, you ask this church anything you need, and so I will. We so desperately need your generosity. We do. This is going to be a tough journey, and we need your partnership. We've placed an insert in everybody's bulletin, and I won't go into detail about what that looks like, but you can read that, and there's prompts that you can follow along, how you can partner with us, how you can pray for us, how you can keep updated with our journey and all that kind of thing. And so I pray that you would just, today, that you would just pray and ask God how you and your family would partner with us in this journey. We would love to update you on those things. Thank you for allowing me to update you this morning. Once again, so excited to be here, so thankful. This morning we thought, thinking about what we should share, what we should talk about. Rachel and I were talking about the passage I want us to look at this morning has meant so much in this season. I think a lot because it has so much to do in this parallel between our testimony and where God has brought us and what God has done in our life. And I wanted to share this morning. We're in Acts chapter 8. You can go ahead and turn there. We're in Acts chapter 8. My goal this morning for us, okay? My goal this morning is for us to faithfully walk through this passage together and encourage us to consider God's calling on our lives and step out in faith, even if we only know the first step. Even if that's all we have, is just step number one. May we have boldness and faith to follow God if that's all we have. If you're there, Acts chapter 8, verse 26, it says this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go. Come on. Toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, unless someone guides me, and he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this, like a shepherd, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shear is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, and this is rich, about whom, I asked, does the prophet say this? About him or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Heavenly Father, we love you. I thank you for this moment again. I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that we this morning would take advantage of this moment, of this opportunity, of this season right now, right here. You have brought us here for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. Every single one of us in this room, whether mature or weak or wherever we are in our walk with Christ, whether we've met him yet, whether we're following him yet, whether we've been following him for many, many, many years, Lord, you've brought all of us this moment in this season right here now for a reason. I pray, Lord, that we would take advantage, we would worship you as we read your word and as we follow your word. Lord, that you would speak, and as you speak, Lord, that we would hear, and as we hear, Lord, that we would follow you. Lord, we would be called and urged and charged to go, to move, to do what you are calling us to do. Lord, speak to us this morning. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So far in the Acts of the Apostles, we've seen mass conversions. At this point in chapter 8, so far we've seen mass conversions. We've seen a lot of really cool stories, a lot of really cool things going on. We've seen 3,000 souls being saved at Pentecost. We saw Peter heal the lame beggar right outside of the temple and then draw this huge crowd to come and hear him, to give him the opportunity to speak and lead even more to Christ. We've seen mass conversions and the church start to explode, but this morning in this passage and this story is different. It's different. Rather than seeing a massive number saved, we see one man being changed eternally by the power of the Spirit and through the obedience of another man. I think that's important. It's incredible to see God move to reach the masses, right? It's cool. I mean, it's incredible. It's beautiful. It's biblical. It's really cool to see God moving in a massive way. Even when preachers or speakers come in a church in a setting from a pulpit like this and people come forward, right? It's really neat. It's really cool. It's really awesome. But is it prescriptive of how God wants to lead all people to repentance and faith and salvation? No, I think there's something here for every single one of us here this morning. No matter what your giftings or your talents, no matter your experience, no matter your failures, no matter your successes, no matter where you are this morning, there's something here for all of us. In fact, just as God called Philip to rise and go, he calls all of us to rise and go. He's calling everyone who has come alive in Christ to rise and go, empowered by the Spirit, equipped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's hard though, right? This is hard. Honestly, I think the biggest struggle with all of this is sometimes we don't know every detail of God's plan when he calls us, right? God, give me every detail, right? Let me know everything that's going on. Anybody with me this morning? Anybody have that same feeling? God, yes, I love you. Yes, God, I trust you. Yes, I believe that you're calling me. But before I say yes, let me know every single detail planned out before I say yes. Anybody else? Is it just me? I mean, we can have an altar call right now if you want. This is my testimony. I want to know every single detail before I say yes. We are obsessed with having control over our situation and forget that we serve a sovereign God. Think on the times, though, in which God has called you to be obedient. Specifically, right now, there's times when God has called you to be obedient and follow him. Something maybe specific that you know that God was calling you to do. Maybe it was to lay aside your pride and finally ask your neighbor to church. You didn't know the words to say. Maybe it was you felt like God was calling you on this mission trip with Northside, okay? And I have no idea how I'm going to get the funds to go on this trip, but I know God is calling me to do this. And you say, I know God is calling me, so I am going to go. Maybe it was to talk to a friend or a coworker about the gospel. And I don't know what words to say. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to approach this conversation. I don't know what to say next after they ask me this question. What if they ask me this question or this question, right? What do I say? Did he outline every detail for you before you did it? No. By faith, you rose and you went. You said yes to God and trusted that he would provide in your obedience. And time after time, he did, and he did, and he did, and he did. Sometimes he just gives us a little, and we have to continue to say yes until we see the entire picture of what God is trying to accomplish in and through us. God simply told Philip to rise and go from the road that connects from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he rose and he went. My first point this morning is very easy, very simple. Say yes to step one. That's it. Say yes to step one. Verse 26 says, rise and go to the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's it. At this point, Philip doesn't even know why he's going. There could be a million different reasons why God would want him to do this. In fact, at this point, Philip was in a thriving and growing ministry at this point. There was no reason for Philip to go or to want to go. See, we have the benefit of knowing the end of the story, right? We know what's going to happen. But for Philip, God was just giving him one step at a time. This was the first step. That's all he got. Rachel and I have a similar testimony, and she shared some of it. We knew that God was calling us to missions, but didn't exactly know what that looked like. We didn't know step two, but we decided to say yes to step one. By the way, after many years of saying no, let me be very clear with that. But we decided it's time to say yes to step one without knowing step two. So we said yes to church planting, not knowing how we were going to accomplish this. No clue. We had no clue what church planting was all about or how we were going to do what God was calling us to do it. We had no strategy, no connections, no team, no support, nothing. We had nothing, had no idea how we were going to do this, and I can't explain it other than God's incredible provision in our lives. But a few weeks after we stepped out in faith, a church called Long Hollow Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee, called us and said they heard our story. Guys, we weren't telling our story. They said, hey, we heard your story, and we want you to come up, and we want you to cast vision. And so we did that, and we told them very little vision cast of what we were wanting to do. And they said, we love it. We want you to come on staff for a year-long church planting residency, where we're going to give you, guys, watch this, we're going to give you a strategy. We're going to give you a discipleship model. We're going to give you, help build a team around you. We're going to give you support and give you opportunity to raise more support. How good is our God? Isn't that incredible? How good is our God? Aren't you glad we serve a God that doesn't just call you and send you, but he equips you, he empowers you, he enables you to do the very thing he's called you to do? These last few years have been kind of a blur, but one thing has been very, very very clear. We said no to God for years, and just seemed to wander. I don't think necessarily we were walking in like full disobedience and stuff like that, but we said no because it was too hard and it was too risky. But the moment we said yes, the God of creation created a way to accomplish his purposes in our lives. Let me just say this. Let's not overcomplicate calling. Let's not over-romanticize calling, right? It's not as difficult or hard to understand. I want to make it very clear for this morning. Calling does not always mean vocation. Calling doesn't always come in the form of some grand adventure, right? Calling is simply spending time with God, hearing from him, and being obedient to say yes when he speaks. That's it. That's calling. Spending time with God, listening and hearing from him, and being obedient to say yes when he calls, when he speaks. We continue to see this in the story of Philip. Point two, trust in God's sovereignty. Point number one, say yes to step one, right? Point two, trust in his sovereignty. When you take that step of faith, trust that he is good, he's for you, and he's with you, and he'll provide for you as you go. So this is the Ethiopian eunuch. Who is this guy? Who is the Ethiopian eunuch? He's on his way back from Ethiopia, from Jerusalem, which was about a five-month trip each way, okay? About a five-month trip to get there and back. To get there and 5 months to get back. So he's an Ethiopian African. I think this is huge too, because we're starting to see the gospel span across ethnic people groups, which is incredible. This man is most likely a God seeker. He's trying to understand who God is. But because he was a eunuch, he was labeled as unclean. He was unable to enter into the temple. He was unable to enter into the assembly, and he was denied access. But because he's starting his journey back to his home, God sends Philip. And the Holy Spirit directs Philip to go over and join his chariot. This is an amazing act of sovereignty. God knew exactly when to send Philip, and he arrives at just the right time. I'll prove it. When he arrives, he hears this man reading the scroll of Isaiah, not just any place in Isaiah, but Isaiah 53. And it's in the passage, but I'm going to read it to remind us of the length of it, what it says. It says this in Isaiah 53, verse 3 through 9, it says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The purpose of this section is two things, to highlight two things, is to highlight the sinfulness of man and to highlight the salvation that comes through the cross of Christ. It highlights our sin and it highlights the cross of Christ. It highlights Jesus and salvation that comes only through the cross. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine a better place to start a gospel conversation. This is the passage of scripture this man was reading. Can you imagine the timing? How perfect, how incredibly orchestrated this was? Not only that, but the Ethiopian asks the perfect question. He said, "About whom, I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Let me think. Someone else. Can you imagine Philip at this moment? Someone else. Someone else. You can almost imagine him screaming it. Someone else. His name is Jesus. Let me tell you about him. What an incredible opportunity. The sovereignty that's here in this moment. Can you imagine the joy of Philip as he considers the power of God in this moment? After he said yes to God at every single step, it has led to this moment. Oh, what a God we serve. Can you see him working in these details? How sweet it is when God provides opportunities like this in our lives. Works in every single detail. The sovereignty of our God. Can you imagine the joy of Philip in this moment when he walked out, he stepped out in faith to step one and has led him here in this moment, right here, right now, to speak these words to this man. It's incredible. Guys, this is true for us. The power in this passage, the power that is coming out of this book right here is true for us right now in this moment. It's true for us. If you haven't experienced this, and this is going to be hard. If you haven't experienced this, chances are you're not saying yes to God when he calls. You wonder why your life is dry, seems void of the presence of God. Maybe it's because you keep telling him no. Man, it's too hard, Jason. I don't know what's next. I need every detail. I don't know that I can trust all of this. And what happens is you wander and you wander and you wander. I mean, similar like Rachel and I, and you wander and you wonder why your life seems void of the presence and the power and the movement of God in your life. Maybe because you keep telling him no. My last point is this. Speak God's word. This is the easiest one. Speak God's word. Number one, say yes to step one. Trust in God's sovereignty. And when you do and he allows you the opportunity, speak God's word. Verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." God doesn't need to tell Philip what to do next, right? He doesn't need to tell him what to do next. He opens his mouth and out comes the gospel. The Bible tells us he starts with Isaiah and through a series of texts explains who Jesus is and what he did for him. No doubt he tells this man that he is a sinner in need of salvation. No doubt this man, Philip tells this man that he offers that salvation is offered through Jesus Christ on the cross if he would only trust in him and give his life to him. No doubt he tells this man all of these things as they continue to travel along. Now, in another act of sovereignty, which is cool. This is just kind of like a throw-in. This is kind of just like a freebie, right? Just kind of like a side note. Another act of sovereignty, as soon as Philip led this man to trust in Christ, they drive alongside a small body of water. Come on. So we saw the sense, we sensed the joy in Philip's heart. Now can you sense the joy in the Ethiopian's heart? Right? Yeah. He's now saved and they pass this body of water. Here is a man from a cursed nation. He was denied access to the temple. He was on a lonely desert road heading back to a pagan land. He had every right to be angry at God, disgruntled at the church, but God had placed his affections on him that day. And he passed by this body of water and he was baptized, and it was incredible. Verse 39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. I love this verse, and went on his way rejoicing. Watch this, and I'm almost done. This is important. I'm not sure, and we're not told, but I have to think this man kept reading through Isaiah, don't you? He was in chapter 53. He kept reading, right? I have to think that he kept reading a few more chapters with passion as he rejoiced, right, in what God had done in his life. And if he did, if he was doing this, then he would have soon gotten to Isaiah chapter 56. Can I read that for you? It says this in verse 3. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. Come on. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Isn't that incredible? Three chapters later, as he's reading on his way, Philip is already gone. Philip is already gone and he's rejoicing. What's next? God, what's next? He's reading and he opens and he reads this passage. Come on. Tradition has it that this man went home to Ethiopia, sharing the gospel with many in that land, foreigners. And many became followers of Jesus Christ. Can I challenge you with something as I close? Like I said before at the very beginning, there is something here for all of us. God has brought each one of us here in this moment, this time, in this place for a specific reason. So I'd love to challenge us with a few things. First of all, for those here who have never really decided to follow Jesus, man, you've tipped your toe into the water, right? You've come to church. You're here, you're trying it out, right? For those who have never truly, completely followed Christ, God has brought you here in this place, in this time, in this season for a reason. It is no coincidence that you are here this morning. I challenge you to explore that, to give your life to Christ this morning. Like this Ethiopian, would you come? Would you commit your life to Christ? Would you give your life to Christ this morning and start this journey? This is your first yes. I'm asking all of us to say yes to step one. This is your step one. Say yes to God this morning. For those of you here this morning who have faith in Christ, yes, I'm a believer. I'm following Christ, yet you struggle to see God's moving and calling in your life. Say yes to God, even if you don't know what's next. Even if you don't know the next step. Man, it's hard. Jason, it's hard. Yes, I know. Continue to say yes to God. And for those of you in the middle of the journey, praise God. Press on. Press on. Continue to say yes, even when it's blurry, even when you don't know what's next. The author of salvation does, and you can follow him in confidence as you go.